Okay, I think we're holding here by Perek Tfilas HaShacha.
Yep.
Okay, good. So Perek Tfilas HaShacha, we have a very strange Gemara. It actually acts as introduction for Tfilas HaDerech. Omel El Yol Reb Yehuda Achoyd Rav Salah Hasida. El Yol told the brother of Salah Hasida, Leitirtach, Veleitechto, don't lose your temper and thereby come to doing Averis. In other words, by not losing your temper, you won't do Averis. Veleitirvi, Veleitechte, if you don't drink, you're not going to sin. Ukshate Yoitze Lederech, and when you want to go out on a trip, you should, whenever you want to travel, hamlech bekoinech vitzei, ask permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and go. In other words, Omar Biakim Rav Chisda Zut Tfilas HaDerech. Very interesting, very, very interesting lashon about Tfilas HaDerech. It's called hamlech bekoinech, means sort of solicit advice from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's what it is. Now, so his problem, he's obviously focused on the lotirtach part, which means not to get angry, which is part of what he's talking about. And he says that, what do all these three things have in common? Yeshet mua al maim azeh, demayin azeh lazeh. What shaykh does one have to the other? Now, I just want to, just a sort of a bit of an aside. When you ask this type of question, what does one have to do with another? So it's a type of thing that's it serves well as a backdrop for drush. You know, you say kind of, well, the Torah obviously connects all these things, and how is A connect with B with C? And you know, it's sort of a, based on the assumption that everything is connected, we'll find some nice drusha. But the truth is, there's a much more logical and significant point. He's telling me three things that prevent you from doing Averis. Now, there are many more things. There's obviously, when you make a statement in the way it's made, it means these are three corollaries to one point. These all three emanate from common knowledge. That's why I'm saying these three. There are many, many things in Chazal that are wonderful shmiras for chet, whatever it is. There are other things, or if he was talking about any one of them, he could have just said, let's say whoever he was talking to had a problem with kas, he could have spoken about kas. The fact that there's all these three things together means there is a common point, that's the real point, and all these three are sort of examples of it. In a certain sense, if you haven't been omed on what's the connection of all these three, then you don't have pshat in any of them. It's like, for example, if I see a certain chemical has different things that it does, I would assume that to understand its molecular structure, I would need to understand how all these three things come from some sort of similar structure. Aval, he says, "B'mayim azeh bolei diyah shli salik ha'odom adveikas min Hashem yisparach. Rak yadovik imoy." The first thing is that a person's shmira from chet comes about by being dovik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the any activity that we would do that would pull us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a recipe for it brings to chait. The type of activity if a person, let's give an example. If my chava Ruvain picks up a phone and calls me and says, "Would you like to come down, go with me here, there, whatever?" So I'm pretty friendly with Ruvain, nice guy, and I say okay. But let's say I'm walking with Shimon, and Shimon is my really close chava that I really like. So when Reuven comes, I'm not pulled by it. when a person is holding on to Ruchnius in a meaningful way, then Chet has a harder time pulling at him, because I sense that each tug is pulling me away from something. If I'm very involved in the sugya, I'm learning very stark, and I'm into the sugya, someone comes to schmooze, I enjoy schmoozing as much as if I were in the sugya, but the consequence for schmoozing, meaning I'm going to lose my thread of thought and whatever it is in the sugya, that's kind of a stronger barrier. So he says, a person is a guf and a nefesh together. When a person pulls away, if a person stands the way he is, the way he ought to be, without moving towards any one side or the other, as ha adam aimed b'shivu shaloi v'dovik b'yizbarach. So when a person is balanced and he has the both netiyas with him, he's holding on with one hand to ruchnius and one hand to gashmi, so to speak, then we say that the person is balanced and he's holding on to both ends. However, we have a problem, or hello? Okay. Because nefesh yoytze min aroy bekoichad ikas ubishichrus. So he says the nefesh is like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In this case, he means nefesh, the entirety of the neshama. B'shem ko b'neim kashishchav k'roy. Because hanefesh yoytze min aroy bekoichad adikas ubishichrus shel odom noitetz al guf nis b'yoyse atru kulei guf, which is boil lemaila. So he says there are two oifanim in which a person is actually sort of getting himself disengaged. Kas, he says, disengages a Kodesh Baruch Hu from him, and shichrus puts a person into a matzav of guf. I want to explain the point that he's making, and we'll understand it. There are two ways in which a person takes away his dveikus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person drinks, it's interesting. People think that drink, that alcohol, is a stimulant, because when people get drunk, they tend to be hyper and running all over the place and, you know, doing what kids do on a Purim. But the truth is, it's a depressant. It depresses the sense of control that a person has over himself. The body sort of sinks into itself, becomes more and more involved with itself. The seichel control mechanism is not effective, and therefore the person does what he does. And the person is sort of, his body is feels free to act the way it acts. So the first point is that when a person engages in, when a person drinks, it's as if, let's have him sort of use a graphic muscle, imagine his body adds many layers of skin, and thereby it acts as a barrier to receiving instruction from the seichel or whatever it is. Let's go back to anger. Anger is a different mahalach. Let's picture when someone gets angry.
Just a quick question on the drink. Why is it a mitzvah to make a kiddush with wine, dafka lechora?
So there is a certain, the property of wine, of yain yisamach levav enosh, and so on, has in itself some degree positive. Let's look at the way the Torah looks at it. A nazir is considered to be extremely high madrega because it's the person has removed himself and he's much more ruchni and so on and so forth. But within the context, just like when we allow for a greater expression of regesh and happiness, when we dampen a little bit seichel, so simcha is associated with yayin, and therefore within limits, it's positive. It allows a person a level of openness, of simcha, of hodah, and so on and so forth, which he wouldn't normally have, which he would normally could not bring out in the cases where we're suppressed. So it has a limited positive value. The Gemara says if somebody is an if somebody is upset, wine, sometimes it's good to put a little bit of a damper on it, and allow a person's regish to be more open and easy. I once heard actually of an extraordinary hesped. Rebbe Yeshve was a Shiva in Philadelphia. His father was a brilliant, brilliant man, extraordinarily brilliant. He didn't need a tshuva zeruah kaveg until he was mid-80s, and because he knew it about that. He was also, in true Litvish tradition, extremely detached emotionally, and did not care for any warmth. If somebody tried to be warm to him or vice versa, he was very, very defensive on God. That was his personality. He was one of the biggest Talmidim in Slabodka. He came to America to make money. He collected money for Slabodka. He sat in his own corner and learned, and basically, you know, kind of emotionally had no business with anybody. That was it. He lived in my area. That's how I know him. He died in his 90s, and a year or so before he died, he started getting demented and whatever. Rebbe Yeshve, his son, was masked with him. He said that he came to the realization that the great barrier to emotion might be the seichel. And when the seichel began to wear thin, a person came out that he had never experienced before. I told this over yesterday, actually, to a Talmud of Rebbe Yeshve, that was in my house, and he said, you know, that exactly was true of Rebbe Yeshve as well. He was a person who cared a lot and did a lot for others, but emotional warmth and ease was not his forte, and he suffered from Alzheimer's for a few years, and he told me he saw him in his first years when he was suffering from it, and people didn't know about it, but he said the way he was warm and accessible emotionally shook him up, because he said it's not the same person. So it has some positive values when a person suppresses some of the over-control. But when a person loses it, and a person loses control of himself, then it's obviously bad. But there's the opposite side, is kas, anger. Let's understand a little bit the mechanism of kas.
Let me ask you?
Yes.
I don't know if you want to get into it, but what about the simcha associated, let's say, with Navua? You know, the Navi had to achieve a state of simcha. Isn't there a type of simcha dafka seichel?
But you know what? If you take a look at the psukim, described the Navi as a meshuga because he was overwhelmed with nevuah. There was a certain, let's call it, nevuah was an intoxicating experience because it was a transcendental experience. He lost it. He rolled around like a meshuga. He may or may not be naked. There was a certain, it overwhelmed him, nevuah. Only Moshe Rabbeinu, who was at that darga, was there always. But for others, on the other hand, Lamarshal, let's take, you can't, when you drank, you're not allowed Paskin Shaila, because Paskin Shaila has to be all Seichel, and in a Beis HaMikdash, Yira was the only thing that was allowed to be, and that's why if you drank, you couldn't do the Avoda. So in different positions, in different times, but that's the basic function of Yayin. Yayin suppresses the control of the Seichel a bit. So when it's a bit in the right place, it allows a lot of the person to come out expressively, which is good. for those places where it ought not to be, or when a person suppresses completely the control of seichel, is bad. That's the way it is. Let's go back to the kas. Let's go down to the kas part. When a person gets angry, he usually, I guess, if we can express our sense of it, we feel when we're angry, we feel that somebody has a handle on us. It's usually anger, a sort of rebellious feeling. You know, get the dash out of here. I don't care what you say. You get angry at your boss, at a teacher, a parent. You sort of want to. It's an impulse of throwing off the yoke of someone because you feel frustrated. It could be somebody who only through circumstance has control over you. Somebody's blocking your way in traffic. You have to get to a meeting desperately. This guy seems to be watching TV in his car or something because the car ain't moving. So this person has a stranglehold over you, and you're pushing him away. You usually, anger will commonly express itself, a curse at the person that is blocking you, frustrating you. If, the other way around, if you tell an underling to do stuff for you, and he's not doing it, you feel, I have this great plan, and I'm running this great enterprise, and this idiot, because he's not doing it, I'm not realizing my whatever it is. So, chaos expresses itself as, and that's why people will say, I don't care who said so, and a person will sometimes overstep the boundaries and say, you know, I clap him out. So chaos is a certain pushing away. And once you push that away, in other words, normally it's because you have a Kaddish Baruch Hu's hand holding you on one side that you don't want to veer from duchet. But if you've pulled yourself away from that, you will, you know, a person who really loses it will be dafka doing an aveira, will dafka do something wrong, as part of show you, you know, when you get angry at someone, part of what you do is you do something dafka that you know he doesn't want you to do, to show him that you're not beholden, because kas in itself, the mida, is a pushing away of that authority figure. So v'kasha nefesh etzem eroi bekoich adei kas v'shosh shodim. So it's not so much goofiness in the sense of physical as it's me. Not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about me, and this is what I don't feel like, and this is what I'll do because that's what I want to do. And therefore, as soon as a person loses the grip of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on him, he is primary fodder for the Yitzhar. He is, he's ready to do an aveir. So that's almost instant, as he says. Masha'en kein ve osad veks umepneze oma beilu shnayim v'loy techte v'lkachom le'tertach le'techte le'tar v'lisech. That's why he instructed him, don't do these things, and you won't do wrong. It's interesting that Eliyahu, by the way, is the one who said it, because Eliyahu, it says, he said, Kanoi Knez Hashem Tzfokais, and that was wrong, and so on. That seemed almost to be a chisorin at Eliyahu. V'chakach
omar, ki yesh... Don't you think Kas is Gavah?
I'm sorry? Is Kas Gavah what?
Is Kas Gaiva?
It's Kas Gaiva. Kas is it's a manifestation of it. You know, it's both of them are something that a person is a person's sense of self as such is Gaiva. And it expresses itself in kas, meaning the more I have a sense of self, the more I'm upset at people the more I feel people are getting in my way, and so on and so forth. In the lashonos of the Reb Chaim Vital, Kas and Gaiva both come from Yisod of Eish. So it's sort of a sense of feeling very, very strongly that a person is it has a mitzias, and the more strongly I feel the need to that my mitzias be there, the more strong I need to defend it against the person who's who I think is choking it. There was a saying somebody once in a yeshiva told the mashgiach he feels that he's being trampled on in the Beis Medrash, and the mashgiach told him, well, if you fill up the entire Beis Medrash, anyone who ever walks is automatically trampling on you. They are both coming from the same point of departure. Gaiva is a more fundamental midah, and Kas is a result of Gaiva, so to speak.
What's a positive sense of self?
Vayigba libo bedarkei Hashem. If a person feels proud in as much as his mitzias is divine. Let's give an example. It's almost paradoxical, but if I feel my sense of self in the way that a physical, what's the right way of saying it? A physical self is me as I am, my body and so on. A more emotional self is me, my name, Aaron. That's who I need to defend that. And if people are not giving enough cover to me, and people are not acknowledging me, and so on and so forth, then that is gaiva, that is physical and so on. But if a person does something selfless and he's happy with it because he finally feels he has a mitzias, because be'etzem he was his mitzias is a chelik of emes. The only thing is, so if he did an act that was totally anonymous, totally selfless, totally with Mesiras Nefesh, then the sense is, yes, I have a nekuda, and that nekuda is emes, because I belong to something that's not me. I wrote about it actually in the Yeshurun. Yeshurun is a journal that comes out like once every half year to a year. The last one was about Reb Nosson Tzvi. It had a lot of Torah from Nosson Tzvi, Torah other people wrote, and so on. I wrote an introduction about his life, sort of a sketch of his life, and there's the final piece deals with a Chazal, David HaMelech. It says, David HaMelech, Gemara Baba Kama says that David HaMelech, we have a halacha from David HaMelech, that a person who says a halacha that he's Meisa Nefesh on, you don't say over from his name. That's what the Gemara says. It's very, very strange. The Indian of saying over from the name of somebody comes from David HaMelech. It says that a guru ilomim and Chazal Darshin that when you say over something from a person, sif seif sub deves bekeva. So a person, when you say over a dvar halacha from somebody, a chiddush from somebody, a dvar Torah from somebody, his lips, so to speak, move in the kever, it means that he still lives here. So how can you say a person who is meisa nefesh on a halacha, you don't say it over b'chol in his name? And it's almost as if, I mean, if saying over somebody's name is positive, and being Moshe Nefesh Allah is the ultimate, how could that be? So, I'm the pshat that I understood was that in a lower level, the norm is that a person wants to have his accomplishments, and when a person accomplishes something in Ruchnius, like a Dvar Torah, Dvar Halacha, saying it over in his name gives him a mitzias. And that's the ultimate good, and that's great. There's a darga that transcends that. A darga that you kumat don't have an understanding of. Let's give an example. Let's say we say a chiddush. I say a chiddush. And it's a good chiddush. People like it a lot. And they say it's great. So I'm thrilled. Then somebody comes and says, you'll never guess what. We found a maral, a new, some new chelek, some new something maral, and it has what you said, or the kivega in Gemara. Now, the norm reaction is, shucks. You know, it's like, well, it's not going to be my chiddush anymore, it's going to be the kivegas or the maral or whatever it is, and that's that. But there's a madrega where somebody says, well, this emes transcends me, and it's me. So I, the fact that I could think that I could sort of produce a kivega, and therefore it's not to do with me, but that's me, that I know emes, that I see emes, that sense of existence is a darga that almost transcends what humans can do, but it exists. That gaiva, when a person says, it's not the recognition thereof, and it's not the return on it, but it's just the thing itself, because I've become part of something so much bigger and greater. That's ultimately gaiva. That's kedusha. That's something that's very, very difficult. You know, there are the more minor versions. We tell a kid, listen, a kid is, you walk in a place with goyim and you're dressed like a Jew, and you know, you're embarrassed, kind of, and hold your head proud and so on and so forth. Those are good things, and it's not, you know, it's not taken away. But if you want to know about what the person's most inner need is, a recognition of self, and gaiva in its bad form is when the self is the me, this clearly defined me, my name, my body, my picture, etc. But when the self is where I understand that I can be synonymous with Dvar Hashem, if my answers are the answers you'll find in the Rishonim, because that's the way I think, and therefore it's not me, but the me is the great Emes Torah. That's the ultimate gaiva. That's good, but for us, we have a hard time dealing with that, because then what does it mean it's me? If me is not me, what does it mean it's me? I don't know. It's I once heard Rabbi Gedalia Shor's Levaya, one of his children, said over that they found by just kind of coincidence, they found all sorts of records that their father had done a lot of work saving Jews during World War II. And they asked their father, why didn't you ever tell us that? And he told them, that which is remembered here is forgotten there, and that which is forgotten here is remembered there. In other words, it's your sense of self, and so gaiva in its pnimius is, you know, vayikbal libo b'darkei Hashem. That's very positive, but most every common manifestation of gaiva is problematic. Okay, then he says one more thing here.
Rabbi Lubiansky?
Yeah.
What's the thing? I understand why Shichrus is associated with being more in your goof. How is Kas associated with the word Nefesh?
Well, Kas is a rebellion. You know, it's the Nefesh pulling away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't like the control aspect. A Shikr, he doesn't care about. When you tell somebody, you know, you ought not to say these things, so a person who's normal will listen. A shikr is involved with himself, and it's almost as if he's anesthetized himself so that your words don't have an effect on him. It's almost as if his body is sort of woven another cocoon and you can't get through to him. When somebody is angry, the anger is pushing you away, the controller away. That's the way in which it manifests itself. So both of them are losing control, but in two different ways. One is that your body becomes more prominent and it loses the sensitivity to what Seichel says, and one is that you push the Seichel away because you feel that the Seichel is getting in your way. Okay, then he says, and then the third element. V'chakach omer keish tzad afshin en neitel akatzer yesh tzad purit v'siluk hadveikus kasher royal olivakesh hadveikus b'yisburg v'ena mevakesh hadveikus or is a purit mimenu v'zeh b'shosh sheyitzel l'derech v'tzorech odem l'hadveikus hu halavaya kasher ena mevakesh hadveikus or purit hadveikus kalavaya hu sheyel l'shem esbar chivu dibukim odem shakach nikol levoyim l'shni v'aschein him l'shecha. So here he makes another point, and Kedarko, it's nothing to do with Kass. When he takes a Maamar Chazal, he learns the entire Maamar Chazal. That's the morale. The Maamar speaks about the following. He says in another place that by Egla Rufa, the people, the elders of the town have to come, and they have to say, Deno Shafkos Domazer, and it says that we gave him food and drink, and Lavoya. We weren't Misrashla being Malavahim. Now, it's hard to understand. So, Mela, food and drink, it means the guy was weak, and that's why he couldn't resist the attack, and so on. But to accompany the other person, there's no chiyuv in the world to accompany the person from town to town. Now, every time a guest leaves, we don't need to send a posse of people to escort them to the next town. That's not the issue. There's Lavoya is to escort him out of the house, which is it's a lovely formality. It's a nice gesture of some sort of covet. But how would that have protected the person? So Morel says the following. He says a person when he's part of a tzibur, part of an olam, he has protection. Animals don't start up with a pack; they start up with the individuals, the stragglers or the floaters or whatever. When it is sensed that somebody is min hayishuv, that is part of something big or whatever, then the person is normally not so vulnerable to attack. When the sense is that somebody is alone, a straggler, or so on, then the person is more vulnerable. It's true mitzad the people that are attacking you. It's true mitzad the victim himself. If a person has a sense of being part of something, he's more self-confident, and stronger in his mind, and so on. If not, he's kind of weaker, and so on. When somebody's traveling, when somebody is in a city, he's in a place, then he's part of something. When he's traveling, he's alone. When I walk a person out of my house, that gesture means you're still part of us. If I don't, a delivery boy comes, he comes, delivers the stuff, I give him a tip maybe, and then he goes on. He's not part of my society, he's the wanderer who wandered in. When it is of mine, one of mine goes out, the escorting him out means he's really traveling on our behalf. There's a sense of still belonging to something. So anytime a person travels, traveling by nature it does not produce achdus. Doesn't make you part of something. Let's give an example for that. By the Masos, When the Jews had when they had the chatzotzos to Kia, the one long blowing meant they were ready to rest. The trua meant they're ready to go. The broken pieces, because when it travels, each piece travels on its own. They may synchronize the travel, but a yishuv has to be a yishuv. That's the nature of the beast. So anytime you travel, you are disintegrated into bits and pieces. When you have a tzibur, you have Ashras HaShechina. Kadosh Baruch Hu is always there, Bebe Asara, and so on. When you're traveling alone, Be'etzim. So a person, while he's traveling, needs to reach out and be miskash himself more to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tfilas HaDerech, it's not only because the roads are dangerous in particular, it's travel is problematic, because it takes away from a certain state, and therefore, the when a person is going out of derech, he needs to touch base HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very, very interesting the way that the Gemara phrases it. He molech b'koincha. It doesn't say you should be a spowl for safety, which would have been the normal. I mean, that's what we understand Tefillah Sederach to be. It's a tefillah that Hashem will keep us safe in a dangerous environment. But Himolech B'Kainech means consult. In other words, he's your fellow traveler. Ask him if you'd like to come along, so to speak. Because really what you're trying to do is you're saying, while I'm traveling, I am not so much part of Tzibur, and when I start, you know, and I want to reattach myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's really what tells us. So the bottom line, the Maral says, is all of these three inyanim, and obviously the reason why here it doesn't say v'lei sechta is because it's a slower process. It's not something that he's right now pulling away. But the bottom line is, these are three pieces of advice and how to keep from sinning. The bottom line of all of them is the chibur of the guf to the neshama, the sense of the guf being attached to the neshama, and when a person does something that tampers with that, that's when you run into problems of of chet. Any questions? Okay. Good. So, Matthew, did you record it, or I have a recording here?
I don't know how to record.
Good. Okay. So I have a recording, and with luck, it'll work. Best, Hashem.